and coaxing to get her to agree to even consider a proposal. Lise had been happily married to the Bureau, and until she learned Stella was on the way, she wasn't open to infidelity. Stella gazed up at me, her blue eyes watching me with wonder. She'd woken up when I'd lifted her into my arms, and she scanned my face with curiosity while I cleaned her up and wrapped her in a dry diaper. Trying not to wrinkle my nose, I spoke to her tenderly while I swaddled her in a soft ivory blanket, telling her how glad we were that she'd finally arrived. For a perfect being, Stella could certainly leave a disgusting mess. She stretched her neck, and I smiled, cradling her in my bare arms. My sports jacket, white button-down, and tie were hanging over the recliner. A white undershirt and slacks weren't appropriate for the office, but taking care of someone smaller than I was made me feel 11 years old again. Wiping faces and asses and everything in between, barely able to keep my own t-shirt and holy jeans clean. I couldn't wait to get home to shower and snuggle with my two favorite women in the world, wearing 3 days of scruff, gray sweatpants, and my favorite Rolling Stones t-shirt. In the hall, I heard a short scuffle, and then a light commotion just outside the door. Whispered voices hissed, unhappy and persistent. I took a step to stand between Lise and the door and then turned, positioning my body between whoever was outside and my daughter. A nurse pushed through, looking disheveled and a bit shaken. "Everything okay?" I asked, remaining alert. From the corner of my eye, I could see that Lise was awake and ready to react. Sure, the nurse said, pausing when she noticed our posture. "Is everything okay in here? What was the noise outside?" Lise asked. "Oh," the nurse said, pulling on a pair of gloves as she stood by Lise's bedside. "It's a fight to get into your room. Those agents outside don't play around." Lise relaxed, and I walked over to the rocking recliner just a few feet away from her, pulling back Stella's blanket to check that she was fine. "The director just wants me back at work ASAP," Lise said, settling back against her pillow. "Not happening," I said. In truth, if the director had his way, Lise would have given birth at the office. We were at the end of our largest case, and Lise was the most trusted translator and analyst at Quantico. I'd been the case lead for 11 years, which was more than half of my time in the Bureau. My youngest brother, Travis, had been undercover. But when the shit hit the fan and his wife was threatened, Travis executed Benny and a few of his men. Abby handed over all the info she had on her father, Mick, another one of Benny's pawns, getting us closer than we had ever been to finally wrapping up the case. Benny's underboss and eldest son, Angelo Carlisi, was just about to go down, and everyone wanted the investigation locked down tight. Lise and I had spent hours in the director's office explaining to him our position on our new family. The risk was so much higher, making us all the more eager for a conclusion. "I'll just bring her to work. The director can change diapers," Lise joked. "He might take you up on that," I said with a smirk. The nurse wasn't amused. "Is there a chance the agents could, I don't know, look at my face and remember it an hour later? The pat-downs are getting old." Lise and I traded glances but didn't respond. We understood her frustration, but more than just the director knew that Lise and I were responsible for bringing half of the Vegas organized crime families to justice. Benny's death had made everyone nervous. We were the FBI's top agents on the case with a baby on the way, and one of Benny's men was in custody and very close to testifying. They had already targeted us twice, so the Bureau wasn't taking any chances. We'd had agents shadowing our every move as soon as Lisa's baby bump became prominent. "Stella might as well get used to having two special agents for parents," I said, pushing off my toes. The rocker swept back and then forward, a gentle motion, highlighted by something creaking with sleepy rhythm in the base of the chair. Memories of rocking Travis when he was a toddler, still in diapers, came to the forefront of my mind. His shaggy hair, chicken legs, and the sticky ring around his mouth. A telltale sign Grandpa had been over. He'd bring over five suckers in his pocket.